You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Parashas Vayikra, Parakei Pasuk Yud Zayin. The Pasuk says, Im nefesh, ki sechta v'osasa achas mikol ha-mitzvah asher lo sasena. Someone will do an avera and will do one of the mitzvahs and Kodesh Baruch Hu said not to do, lo yada, and he was unaware, v'oshim, and he became guilty. So he has to bring a korban oshim. So the Svar Makdoshim, including Yalkut Hamishoy, brings down a very fascinating Rabbeinu Bachya and a Rabbeinu Yonah, who basically make the same diuk that we find a few psukim earlier. Talks about where somebody did an avera, and he did know. And such a person has to bring a korban chatas. And here we say if a person did not know, he has to bring a korban osham. And it's brought down that the lashon osham comes from lashon shemama, that in truth, the person who sinned and is obligated to bring an osham, roi shiyeh shomein boy, that the person who did this should become wiped out. And the lashon of chatas, the korban chatas, is a lashon of shigoga, which is much a milder expression, a shogi. So how can it be, asked the Rabbeinu Bachya, how could we are machmir in a place where a person does not know more that he did an aveda, more than a person that did know, as demonstrated by the fact that here where the person did not know, he brings an osham, which happens to be a more expensive korban than a chatas also. So we see a couple of things that are really very counterintuitive. Why is it that this korban where a person does not know, does it seem to be more stringent? So the Rabbeinu Bachya answers, because when a person does an avera and he knows he did the avera, doigu meitzar olav, he feels very bad about it. He worries about it. This feeling of guilt is one of the potent methods of doing tshuva. So since the person knew about it and he'll feel bad about it, and he's doing tshuva for it, so that's why he only has to bring an easier korban, a chatas. But if a person does not, so he's in greater danger because he won't be doing tshuva. Because he'll think, well, maybe I didn't really do an avera. And the lashon of the Rabbeinu Yonah is very similar. Someone does a sin and he knows about it, it'll be more on his mind, on his heart. So this is a very fascinating concept, that this thing that the world talks about, the Jewish guilt, there really is something very powerful to it, that if we feel guilty, that will push us to do tshuva. Parenthetically, this could be a key to understand, v'makom shebali tshuva omdim tzadikim gemurim, can't stand in such a place, because this feeling of charata, of regret, of remorse, can push a person to a higher madrega than even a person who had never sinned. So there is an exceptional story brought down in the Matame Shulchan Shabbos here in Parshas Vayikra. Im nefesh ki sechta v'nosa avoinoi. I highly recommend those people who can get a copy of this Matame Shulchan Shabbos to look up the story in its entirety, because we are forced to condense it in extreme, but leave out many interesting details. So the story takes place with the Marsha, and in his town, there were two shutfim who dealt in linen, and there was great love between these two shutfim, and they became aware of a really unusual deal that they could have from an adjacent town where they could buy high-quality linen for a fraction of its value, and they could make a very hefty profit. So they quickly hurried to this adjacent town, these two shutfim, and they inspected the linen, and they saw indeed that it was seemingly a once-in-a-lifetime deal. So they decided, and they made an assessment, that they need many wagons to bring back all this linen that they're buying at a bargain price. So one shutuf went back to their hometown to get more wagons, and the other shutuf stayed with the person who was unloading the linen at this low price. And this shutuf who stayed was exceedingly hungry, and he felt very faint, and the only thing that he could find to eat was something seriously treif, and he couldn't withstand the taiva, and he partook in this treif of food. Immediately afterwards, he felt tremendous charata, and the next day, the other shittif returned with all the extra wagons, and they loaded the wagons, and they went home. And again, very briefly, on the trip back, the shittif with the wagons saw that his Shutif that he left with the linens was very depressed. He was crying. He was super sad. And he was trying to figure out what's the matter with you. And he, of course, did not want to admit the avera that he did. He was embarrassed. After a lot of back and forth, he wheedled the story out of his shutif friend that he ate treifas and he couldn't make peace with himself that he did this avera. So the other shutif is trying to make his friend feel better. But he says a lot of things and it doesn't work. Till finally, this second shutif made half jokingly, you know what, why don't you sell me this avera? You're so worried about this avera. Sell me the avera. So suddenly, this fellow who was crying figures, you know what, maybe this can work. He says, but you know, if we do this sale, I'm going to have to pay you money to take this avera off my hand. So they talk about this for a while and they come upon the idea that they're going to make a tkias kaf, which is a kinyan d'oraiser, to make a total legal and binding sale, which they do. And they go home together, finally both in a good mood. The shutif who bought the avera thinks now he has made a spectacular profit, both his share and his shutif's share, which he gave away to him to take the avera. And the second shutif felt good. I don't have to worry about this avera anymore that was making me crazy. And then time passed and life went forward and the shutif who bought the avera died. And when it came to his time to give din v'cheshbon in Shemayim, they're looking through his Sefer HaZichronos, you know, we talk about that in Lesana Tokif, and they tell this fellow, oh, you have a serious avera where you ate serious tarfus. And he said, I never ate tarfus in my life. So in Shemayim, they show him, you may not have eaten it, but you bought this avera, so now this avera is yours. You bought it, you have to deal with it. And this guy's crying, I never thought that by doing this thing, that I'm going to tabble the chet, and I'm going to have to, you'll forgive me burning a head for this. I thought my friend should do an avera and I should get punished. But nothing helped him. The only thing that they accepted in Shemayim that the dead shutif wants to take his live shutif to din Torah. So he came in a dream to the live shutif, and he said, I'm summoning you to a din Torah. And the fellow got very afraid. He woke up in the morning, and he went to the marsha. And the marsha said, tell your dead shutif when he comes to you again in the dream that you want that the marsha in our hometown, who was the dead shutif's hometown too, to be given this din Torah. And the marsha says he agrees, and the dead shutif agreed. And they set up a date that this din Torah will take place. And the marsha told the people in his town this amazing story. And he said, I want everyone in town to be present in the shul to hear this din Torah between the dead shutif and the live shutif about buying the sin that the dead shutif is in mortal fear of. And the day came, and the shul was jam-packed, and the marsha said that the two people who are in the din Torah should enumerate the tainus. So first he called upon the live shutif, and the whole audience is spellbound, obviously. And he said, it's true that I did this avera chamura, but immediately I did tshuva, or I had harata, and I did not find Menucha, till my shutif came up with this idea that he'll buy it and I will give him a significant amount of money for it. He didn't do it for free. And we did this Mecca Halpi Din Torah. And we even made a Tekiyas Kaf. And this that he has Harata now, he can't be Mavatl the Mecca, and he has no Schus and Tfi against me. Then the Marshal called the shutif Hameis, and the voice came behind the curtained off area. The whole Kehillah heard crying. And the dead shutif said, it's true. I did a great shtus that I bought this avera, but my kavanah was solely to make my friend feel better, not because I had any desire to be connected to this ugly avera. And if I owe him money, I owe him money. If I owe him something, I owe him money alone. But why should I be punished for something that he did wrong? Why should I have yisurim because of his chet? But this never occurred to me that this would be the result. And there was more back and forth, which we cannot repeat at this time. So finally, after consultation, the marshal with his bezdin, he said, we have come to a decision. Ha-mekach nishar mekach. This business deal was done al-pi halacha with the kiaska, and the dead person cannot back out of this deal. And not only that, this dead shutif thought he was doing a good deed by lightening the load of his chaver. In truth, that was a serious avera in and of itself. Gorom lo shelo yachse b'tshuva al chetari. The fact that he came up with this idea of selling the chet, this made the person who did the chet not realize that he has to do tshuva, because, as all the Sforim HaKadoshim bring down, that when someone does an avera, he creates a pagam He creates a flaw in the neshama which needs to be rectified by tshuva. And this fellow thought he doesn't have to do tshuva anymore because he sold the aver. So with this whole idea of the mekach, he actually did greater harm to himself than good, the dead shidduch. However, ended the marsha, so that we, all of us, should be compassionate for this oinish, for this punishment of this dead shidduch who's now seemingly going to suffer in Gehenna because of what he did. The marsha said, I will set up a seder tshuva for the live shidduch, that he should now do tshuva after the fact, because he's still alive, so he should, to a certain extent, lighten the punishment of his former shutef, who's now in the Olam Elyon. And the Marsha added that I will be makabel on myself. The Marsha was makabel on himself. Through this, the boinish of the mace will be further lightened because of the tshuva of the live shutef and the tshuva of the Marsha himself. And when the Marsha finished his words, there was a final cry from behind the curtain where the voice of the dead shutef had been heard, and no more was heard from the dead shutef, because seemingly the nintero was passing. So the story ends that this entire narrative had a tremendous impact on everyone who heard it, because they realized yesh din v'yesh dayan, there is justice, there is a true judge, and this business, so to speak, of averus and tshuva is a very serious one. And the ikar is, kama gadol kocha shel tshuva, v'chol zman she'odam chai b'kocha l'sakin ha'koil, v'toiv loy b'zeh uva'ba. This is the end of the story, and I add a short postscript that it could be regarding the question that has been asked by many through the ages, why didn't Mashiach come when there were more tzaddikim in the world? Now we have so many Bali Averis and people who don't know that they're Jewish and what Judaism means. But we have a Kabbalah that before Mashiach comes, everyone will have to do tshuva. And actually the tzaddikim know, as is brought down in the Sifrei Chassidus, that the main job of every yid and every tzaddik is to help bring other people back, because the tshuva is such a potent and desirous thing by the Rabbeinu Shalom, like we say in the davening on Yom Kippur. Kadosh Baruch Hu does not want the mois hames, ki im tshuva medalkei v'chaya, we want that we should do tshuva, we want to help other people do tshuva, we're mispalel that all of Klal Yisrael should find the tshuva that they need, and Eibishtu will help through this, will be zeicher to the Geula Shleima for us, for Klal Yisrael, and for Eretz Yisrael.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.